Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. And that idea of death is about passing away. But if by the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Ghost, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And why do we focus on the deeds of the body? All right. Even though your body is corrupt, and welcome Cheryl and Don, even though your body is corrupt, you now through the Spirit, through faith, through the Holy Ghost, you have control over those corrupt members. All right? The proof of the ownership of your body, what nature owns it, is who controls it. Let me say that again. The proof of who owns your body, as corrupt as it may be in its members, the proof of ownership is in who controls it. If it is still practicing
those misdeeds,
then who controls it? The sinful nature. Right? Still practicing it. So it tells us to put to death those misdeeds. Can you see that? Jesus from who if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ also from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, and it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, how do you put to death the misdeeds of the body? By submitting those members to prove that the Spirit has control over them to God's will, as corrupt as they may be, right? For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, right? And I purposely skipped this. But you receive the spirit of sonship. Now let me read this all together. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, and it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So who will have control of that body? If the Spirit controls it, as corrupt as it may be, then God is its owner. Right? For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, don't rush through that last verse. If we indeed share in his sufferings, because that speaks of how you put to death the misdeeds of the body. In other words, if the sin nature can no longer use those members of the body to do its misdeeds, it creates a suffering in you, doesn't it? Of you not being able to have what you think you should have. Of you not receiving what it is you think that before you could just take for yourself. You see, you've chosen to suffer. You've chosen not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You've chosen to suffer. And anybody who's chosen to suffer is what? As the scripture says, is done with sin. Right? To share in the suffering of Christ is to quit those misdeeds, to yield your body to do right, to yield those members to do God's will and not your will. That is sharing in the sufferings in order that you may also share in his glory. As Jesus, look what Jesus did. He suffered unto death. He didn't take for himself a life, did he? And we're not just talking about, going out to sin. Jesus was never one just to go out and sin. We're talking about taking things for yourself apart from God because you were bought with a price. Jesus never considered his life to be his own. He never considered his members to be his own. And he yielded them to God. He didn't build a house for himself, or a career for himself, or a bank account for himself, or marry, or have children, or do anything to prolong his name long in the earth. He turned his back on that life in order for his members to completely serve God's will. And there is a suffering in that because it is self-denial. And if you want to have fellowship with Jesus, self-denial is a part of that, isn't it? I consider, and this is what you've got, this is the way you've got to start to see it. Because remember, we're between these two natures. One that can never go into the spiritual. One that is meant to be destroyed. One that demands what it wants now. And it takes what it wants now. And that is its reward. Another that suffers now in order to have forever. And that's the choice that you have, right? So it tells us in verse 18, the apostle says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Now, I want you to think about what that means. Hey, Sandy, welcome. Iceman, welcome. I want you to think of what that means. Have you seen how the thrust here of Romans is no longer talking about just a comparison of the two natures, but it's talking about the difference between eternal, right, and what is not eternal? It's talking about the thrust of what the gospel is about. All right, no, I'm not going to even do that. I'm not going to let you stay in here just so you can start sending notes to people. All right. So, no, do you see where the thrust of this has went? I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. That's what's going on inside of you. I want you to think of yourself more as just being the child of God. And I want you to think of yourself as more as just being that flesh and blood person that must die. I want you to think of yourself as creation and the child. See, that's your viewpoint. Because the child of God is in you. Right now, you have that viewpoint of the mother. And you really do. You're the viewpoint of the mother. And what is in you is a child of God. It's the viewpoint of Mary. Do you understand? And it is as creation, you can be saved through the child that's in you. Or you can pass away if it's aborted. Right? You can be saved through the child that's planted in you. Or you can be lost if it's aborted. Right? Your viewpoint is the point of creation. Because creation will be saved through the children it bears. And all of creation waits in an eager expectation for the child of God to be revealed. And that child of God is what you're looking to be revealed in you, isn't it? See, right now you don't fully know that child of God as you would like to know it. You don't feel that identity as you would like to feel it. But you know through faith that a child of God is in you, right? Right? And his spirit cries out, Abba, Father, with your spirit. You know that child is in you. And you long to see it revealed. This isn't about the longing of the child to be revealed. Because you know what? The child will grow in its time. And that flesh will get thinner and thinner, and the child will be revealed in its time, as God has set times. But you are the creation that's saved through that child. Let me say it another way so it even becomes clearer, so you can see what I'm telling you is true. Jesus is the child of God. And you're the person that's saved through Jesus joining with you. If Jesus is man and God, right? Jesus is joined with you. And you two together make a new creation, right? You're carrying Jesus in you to be born. And you will be saved through his revealing, through his resurrection. In other words, through the child coming out of the womb. Can you see that? And so think about it in that way. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, but not by its own choice. You, like a woman, like this world, has been subjected to the frustration, but not by your own choice, huh? For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. You will be liberated from Adam and joined to Christ, joined to that new child. Because that's what's planted in you. And brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly, just like that woman, with a child, right? As we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. The redemption of our body is the redemption of the mother. Because the redemption of the body is what carries the spirit, just like the mother carries to the child. So the redemption of creation is the redemption of this body changed by the child it bears. You understand? So this body that is subject to decay is brought into the glorious union with what does not decay. Do you see that? We wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But we hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes with the saints in accordance with God's will. But doesn't that make it clear how this works? Why you're groaning? Why you're suffering? Because it's just like Sandy was saying, it's the pains of childbirth. It's the pains of Christ being formed in you. And all of that uncertainty that you feel, and all of that pain that you carry, and all of that suffering you go through, is exactly what a mother goes through in producing the child that's in her. Right? Do you see this? And that's why all of creation is groaning in this. Because creation itself, in other words, what is physical, will be redeemed through the spiritual by what it carries on that day. The day of the revealing of children of God, the day of the resurrection. When this corruption will put on incorruption, we will be brought into that world by what it is we carry. This body redeemed. Just remember, a woman will be saved through childbirth, right? If she continues in faith, holiness, and propriety. That's talking about your body, isn't it? Not just the church, not just a woman, but it's talking about you, your body. These are the pictures that are used to help you understand what's going on in you. Amen? That's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please feel free. I wanted to have time to be able for us to have a discussion about this. Because what we're looking at is the very essence of the change that's going on within us through Christ. This is how we change from one nature to the next. Go ahead, Sandy.
I was just going to say, this is really the focus of what we're supposed to be doing, and you know, you don't see that focus. You see that it's already all been done for us, and the focus is more on Egypt and getting what we can out of the world and securing our place here. But what we really need is this kind of teaching, this kind of focus, so that we can understand that we are appointed to suffer and appointed to walk out of the salvation.
And I am amazed, you know, I talk about this and you know, and it becomes obvious, you know, that the Spirit picks it up in people's hearts and that people are convicted by it and people understand it and people, it affects people. But you have to wonder why this thing that is so clear, that is so clearly present within the scriptures, this focus of this change from the reconciliation to the redemption, why this is not taught clearly, why this is not focused on, why they have tried to make Christianity this easy road of say the pretty words and you'll have everything you want, rather than understanding that you must let this life go in order to have what's important. To understand that you're in this for forever, and that what passes away, you know, it's not even about, you know, it's not even about, you know, what you can get temporarily. It's not about God taking care of you just temporarily, you know, in your family and in this life. And that's where the focus has been put on, and they think that's spirituality. They think that Christianity is a matter of the family, you know, and that strong families will, you know, that's not it. Christianity is about forever. It's about eternal life. It's about laying down what you have here to go to what we have there. It's about an eternal hope. It's about something that we are willing to sell everything we have here to get. It's about appreciating God for who He is and what He has sacrificed to make us and to bring us home. It's about becoming, having those eternal values and appreciation of those things that goes beyond what we can have now. Because even if you got all of your physical dreams answered, guess what? You're going to die. You get the best job you ever wanted, you're going to lose it because you're going to die. You get the best house you ever wanted, you're going to lose it because you're going to die. You get healed of cancer, guess what? You're going to lose it because you're going to die. See, that's not the gospel. Those are just pictures. And the pictures represent things that are forever, that do not change, and that you'll never lose. And if you can't see the good things in life that God gives us as only pictures of what He's promised us forever, then you will miss the whole thing.
Talking about this, I was thinking, you know, what Paul says about pressing on toward the high mark of the calling, pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God. And when I was pregnant, and as it got farther along, and I got scared. I mean, I'm 18, and I've never had a baby, and I'm, you know, like, you know, what's this going to be? And I get scared. And then I realize, you know, I've got no choice. It's go forward, you know. It's go on and do it. And that's the way I am with the Lord now. You know, I've got no choice. I've made my choice. And it's go on, you know. And it doesn't matter how much it hurts or whatever. As it says, you know, there will be rejoicing because the son is born, you know, and that's, you know, the hope, and that's so much more my focus, more and more, is on that, and I can see everybody else, you know, focusing around me on the, not that I don't, some, you know, part of the time, I mean, when I hurt, and I gripe about it, but so much, you know, when things happen, you know, and it's crisis time, and it's, you know, it's not, because I know who holds the future, you know. No matter how it turns out, it may not be how I want it, but I know it's for mine and whoever it's happening to, good. Forever, not temporarily.
I was I'm sorry, while you were speaking, Shilda, I'm serious, God was speaking to my heart. God was speaking to me at my heart about Noah, of all things. And I never knew this. I never knew. You know, it tells us in the scripture that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Right? Before he knew that the world was going to pass away the way it did with that flood. Before he knew what God was going to do, he foreseen. See, being a preacher of righteousness means being a preacher of the eternal. That Noah seen through faith that everything must pass away and that you must focus your eyes on the eternal God. That Moses, that Noah had an inkling of the Spirit and seen ahead that everything must go away. And that's why God chose him to be a preacher, to be a standard of the new world, because he was looking for a new world. You understand? He was before the judgment was even announced. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, is a preacher of the eternal. He was looking for a new world. And that's why God chose him out of a generation. One who was looking for a new world, for a new beginning. And God told me in my heart, he says, that's who you are. That's what he told me. That's who you are. You're looking for a new world. And those that search with you will not be disappointed. I never realized that about Noah. I never knew that. To preach true righteousness is to preach the eternal. And those who preach the eternal are looking for something beyond this world. They're looking for a new world, a new life. They're looking beyond what their eyes can see, because they know what they see will pass away. To grab hold of righteousness is to grab onto eternity. I'm kind of overwhelmed right this.
Okay, I've got the thing on if you want to tell everybody. What happened? Can you guys hear me?
Right as I said that, my computer started to restart. I don't know why. So, anyway, my prayers are with you guys. And, Lord willing, we'll be back on tomorrow night. I'm a little overwhelmed right now anyway. I need to stop and take a little bit. God bless you guys. I love y'all and Jesus.
Okay. God bless. Bye.